Hello, and welcome to the General Knowledge Force. It's your main man, Kevin. Today we're going into free will. Yes, that thing that we all believe we have, but do we really? Today we're going to go into this with our brand new special guest, Ryan Schalk. Ryan, you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, my name's Ryan. I'm a software engineer by trade, so depending on where the conversation takes us, I might draw some analogies to software. But I'm here to talk about free will today. My qualifications in the philosophy department are non-academic. I've, you know, read a lot of books that interest me. Something I've done a lot of thinking about. So take what I say with a grain of salt. Do your own research. But yeah, I'm gonna lay it on you.
Thank you, Ryan. All right, guys, get pumped, get excited, get thrilled for this journey to unfold.
Hello, 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 everybody. It's your main dude, your main guy, your main pal, Kevin, here with my best friend, Shane. Shane, say hello, everybody.
How you doing, everybody?
All right, all right. Oh, and I couldn't forget, we also have our special guest here, Ryan Schalk, the man. What's going on, dude?
Not much. I'm doing well. I'm getting married in a little bit over a month, so.
Oh,
congratulations,
yeah.
Man.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Taking that leap, man. Woo.
Yep. It's just going to be like 30 more days of planning, and then.
Right.
That's the hardest part.
That's right.
That's how it is.
Well, best of luck to you with that. I know that you have a really exciting topic for us today.
I do. All about free will.
Free will. Man.
How nonsensical that concept is.
Okay.
Nonsensical, you say?
Yes, sir.
How so? Like, how would you, I feel like before we get in any like really deep into it, like what is free will? Like, how would you define that?
You know, that is the crucial point, because the outlook you have on free will depends entirely on how you define it. And most people, I don't think, have thought about it quite enough. So I'll give you my definition. I definitely want to hear your all's definition so we can kind of set the stage for this conversation. I mean, I kind of already said free will to me is kind of this nonsense term that doesn't make sense. I think we all have a will. We all make decisions. But to be free is to be free of causality, right? The things that cause you to make your decisions are ultimately responsible for your decisions, and you are not responsible for those things, right? So claiming ultimate responsibility for your actions kind of doesn't make sense to me. If I were to define free will, it'd be like in a legal sense, you know? Like if I'm signing a document of my own free will, no one is holding a gun to my head or holding my family hostage. You know, that is kind of the maximal control I have over myself. But outside of that, I don't really use the term free will unless I'm saying this does not exist.
Okay. Huh. I need to meditate on that a little bit.
Interesting.
It's a lot to encapsulate. I'm going to have to unpack some things there.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, please unpack.
Do. Well, first, how would you define free will?
I guess free will to me is just, you know, the fact that we have the ability to make our own choices. You know, people, you can always have that person that comes into your life and says, oh, you got to do this. This is what you have to do. And there are plenty of people in our lives that try to control us. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the fact that we, at the very end of that, make our own decisions. You know, nothing's forcing us to make those decisions. It's all up to us. And that is what encapsulates free will, mm-hmm. at least from my perspective, at least.
So with that definition, I would say that describes control, in my opinion.
Okay.
You know, the degree of control you have over your actions is predicated on, you know, if anyone is forcing you to do things. You know, if you have any obviously exterior influences on your actions, I'm going to argue that you can't escape those exterior forces. But
unfortunately.
Right. But to me, there's, you know, to say that we make our own decisions is not enough to give us what people think they have with free will. And I'll make my first analogy with software. If I write a program, right, that program is going to have if statements in it. It's going to branch. It's going to make decisions.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't say that it has free will. At least I don't think most people would.
It's like logical computations.
Mm. You've given it instructions on how to thrive. Like you've, is in a sense, kind of given it its own purpose, and it just simply just follows that.
Mm-hmm. And in a sense, people are the same way. Obviously, we're much more complex. And we do have self-awareness, which is a huge distinction between us and a program, right? And I think as we move towards trying to develop general artificial intelligence, I'm actually of the opinion that you can't separate general intelligence and consciousness. So I do think that once we do have a general purpose AI, it will have some primitive form of consciousness. And I think that's what makes people feel like they have free will, is
their consciousness that they have.
Yeah, they're self-aware of the decisions they're making. It feels like something to make these decisions. But I would argue that ultimately the brain is a lot like a program where you have inputs, whether they're, you know, exterior to your body, mm-hmm. things that you're reacting to, or interior, you know, thoughts popping up in your head and chemical reactions going on in your body. But to me, it's all kind of the same thing. And I think a lot of people feel that they have free will. You know, if I ask you, you know, do you feel free in your decisions? Of course, you'll say yes.
Yeah.
But if you really pay attention,
what influences those decisions, though?
Right, right. And, you know, the best way I know to distill my belief system here is to say, you can do what you want. You know, mm-hmm. I think most people will define free will as, oh, I can do whatever I want. And that's absolutely true. And it's actually it doesn't give you the freedom that people think they have, because you must do what you want. If you do something, did that thing because you wanted to, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even if someone's holding a gun to your head and saying, do this thing.
Yeah, at the very end, you do it because you don't want this person to pull the trigger and end your life.
Exactly. So we know that everything you do because you want to. The catch is, you do not will what you want.
Yeah, so what's the driving factor? What's the external input? What happens in the environment or around, like, the social whatevers? What happens? What is your thought process on that? Who is the programmer for the programs being put into the decisions that are being made in your head?
And, like, what's influencing that programmer to program it that certain way? Probably from the, you know, people that he's learned from in his past, his own personal experience with it, and...
Or, like, maybe it's not even, like, an entity, or, like, what is, like, the external driving factor for these inputs and thoughts and wants? And
Ultimately, it's whatever happened in the past, right? The reason I'm saying this right now is because you just asked me a question. Mm. I have these thoughts popping into my head.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to the weirdness of thoughts popping up in your head.
I'm all about that.
But the reason that anything is happening is because something happened immediately before it, right? If I'm, you know, playing pool and I'm, you know, knocking around these billiards balls, they're moving because they got hit, right? And it's kind of the same thing going on in our brains, right? All these reactions going on, the forces acting on us, whether that's, you know, something without no agent, you know, if it's like the wind blowing or if it is an agent who's talking to me like you guys, those are influencing what I do. And if we trace backwards, eventually we reach, you know, my childhood.
Yeah.
Right. And some of the things that I do today are the result of something that happened in my childhood, and I carry that all the way forward. Each, you know, however small you can slice time, each frame of time as you move back leads to the next, right? So
yeah.
So with this concept, everything that is everything is just ultimately a gigantic chain reaction that can be traced all the way back to a final point. So what was the driving factor of the initial thing that drove everything?
In your birth.
Yeah. No. Everything, not your birth. Your birth is completely insignificant in the concept of this.
Okay, more than
everything.
I was thinking about it
birth.
From like the personal perspective.
Right. But literally everything, the universe and all the universes, the first driving, boop, whatever booped it.
The first driving influence.
Trigger
the
chain reaction of everything
once.
Going.
Yep, so I mean, I would say that's the Big Bang, or, you know, if you're religious, it's the... God's creation of the universe.
Yeah.
Whatever the first state was at that moment set in motion everything. And there's a great quote by this guy named Sam Harris. And if you're interested in this topic, go listen to his stuff because he's going to articulate this 1,000 times better than I ever could. But he has a great quote in his book that says, "We're like puppets whose strings go back to the Big Bang."
Wow. So, yeah.
So if there is a, I wouldn't say there is a programmer. You know, maybe someone religious might take that outlook. But just taking like an objective scientific approach, I would just say it's the origin of the universe.
Right.
It spawned
like something. Something triggered everything. Mm-hmm.
And so people who don't believe in the traditional definition of free will, such as myself, subscribe to an idea called determinism. And this can be hard or soft. Like hard determinism just means essentially everything is predetermined. If you went back to the Big Bang and you knew the position of every single atom and its velocity as, you know, things are exploding, exploding is the wrong word, but then you could predict the future, essentially. And there's a concept.
Oh, yeah.
There's a concept of, it's called Laplace's demon.
Laplace, I've heard this before. Where have I heard this before?
I may have told you about it. I'm sure
we've talked about this before. Laplace, it sounds so familiar.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know much about Laplace. I think he was like a philosopher who came up with this idea of a demon in the sense of basically a computer. I believe he talked about this in the 1800s before there were computers. But he said that if there was this demon who knew the position of every single particle in the universe at any given time, he could trace forward or backwards and, you know, tell what happened in the past and predict the future. So that's kind of this idea of hard determinism. Soft determinism is more, you can start throwing randomness into the mix, right? You know, everyone wants to say, like, what about quantum mechanics, right? Because at some fundamental level, there's randomness, right? And a determinist like myself is not really interested in whether quantum mechanics are in the mix, because whether things are determined in an exact, precise way, it doesn't matter, because they are determined, right? What I do is determined by physics and chemistry and biology.
Yeah.
And if you throw a randomness into the mix, that's still not going to give you free will, because, you know, if I make my decisions on the roll of the dice, that's not free will, right? That's just randomness.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, influence. But don't people have the ability to choose whether, like, to do or not to do something, and that and does drive what happens in the future?
You could also...
Because, like, you could argue that, yes. So, like, what's, like, the counter-argument to that being free will, or would you, like, classify that as something else?
I think that goes back to control. Like,
purely control?
Yeah, yeah. You can make decisions, absolutely. You do make decisions. You have to make decisions as you go about your daily life.
But are those decisions predetermined through that original driving factor of the chain reaction?
It may be. I don't use predetermined because, you know, I'm not a quantum physicist. Right. I couldn't tell you, you know, an informed opinion on whether things are actually predetermined. But they are determined. You know, what I'm doing right now is determined by neurons firing in my brain, which is determined by chemical reactions that trace back in time, frame by frame.
And I would think, like, maybe a reason why you wouldn't follow the randomness is probably from an influence in your past. You know, like, so many people make different decisions because of a bad experience.
Based off of their ability to trace back everything that happened in the past to drive what is going to happen in the future. So, like, potentially you could create a different outcome, predicting a negative outcome based off of things you did in the past. So, like, trying not to repeat your same actions.
Or at least try to.
Right. So, like, is that just all related back to control?
That is an excellent question. short answer, yes. Long answer, there is a position that is a subset of determinism called compatibilism, which is the belief that determinism and free will are actually compatible. I think that people who take this position are redefining free will. They won't admit to it, but I think they are.
Okay.
There is a very prominent philosopher named Dan Dennett. I've read a few of his books. He is a compatibilist. And he makes essentially that argument, you know, that we are so advanced that we're able, you know, we're so self-aware, we can, you know, reflect and retrospect and essentially better ourselves to such an extent that if anyone, anything has free will, it's us. But to me, that's just a degree of control. Like, take a simpler organism like a mosquito or a fly that basically knows how to feel air pressure and not get swatted. And
right. I feel like they're like little computers, little AIs sometimes, just because they're just basically going off of like just external, boom, not really like thinking about anything that's going on or what happened in the past, not learning. They're just going to get swatted and keep landing in the same spot, you know, doing whatever.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to go ahead and interrupt you real quick. We are about at our midpoint, so we're going to go ahead and take a break and share a quick message from us.
Hey, didn't see you there. So, I've got one question for you. Do you hate ads? Oh, wow. Me too. Sounds like we already have a lot in common. Here on the General Knowledge Force, Shane and I are committed to a zero-ad podcast platform. But in order to keep this up, though, we unfortunately do need your help. All that we humbly ask is that you like, follow, subscribe, and share to help us really get this podcast going. Now, if you want to go a step further and become a super-duper awesome pants, consider becoming a patron on our brand new Patreon. Here, you can get access to our official Discord server, have live chats with Shane and of course, vote on the next topic in our podcast. Guys, thank you so much for your time. Now let's get back to it.
And we are back. All right, all right. So Shane, I kind of want to continue off where you were on what you were talking about, how, you know, people won't learn. You know, people will reflect on things that happened to them, and if they don't learn from it, they really just fall back into that same cycle. And that's the craziness thing. Like, if you aren't willing to give in to these influences in your past, or influences that you learn from somebody else, you find yourself just living in this loop.
Right. You like get into the cycle, and you fall into a bad cycle. But like, it's like willpower. Mm. So like, people have different, I guess, levels of willpower, and like the ability to quit smoking, for example, or something like something small, or just being able to be like, yeah, no, I don't want that, or I'm going to do this instead of this because X is happening. Mm-hmm. So what is willpower? And I feel like humans are kind of a little, and other animals too, are kind of better at determining things and being able to change the future by knowing and checking what happened in the past. So like, how would you determine like and define willpower?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And not Green Lanterns either.
Right, right.
Out of nowhere, just like Green Lantern just bursts through the wall. He's got a big old ring on his hand. Like, who said willpower?
Yeah, just to close the door on the mosquitoes and the flies, like they, I would say they have, you know, a very minimal sense of control and probably no self-awareness whatsoever. And
right.
That's,
yeah.
As we scale up in the consciousness arena or intelligence arena, again, I don't think those are separable, but as we, you know, scale up to humans, obviously we do have a much greater capacity to affect some semblance of self-control. And we do feel like we have some willpower.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a really crucial point. Because I think ultimately, if you believe in a free will that basically exempts you from causality, right? If there's something outside of physical causation that allows you to make your decisions, you are subscribing to some form of dualism, like that the mind and the body are separate. And science tells us that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you subscribe to the idea that you have some sort of eternal soul that influences your decisions, you did not choose your soul.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So anything that causes you to act, you can't claim ultimate responsibility for. And your level of willpower is just one of those things. You know, you may have been born with the genetics and environment that led you to be someone with really strong willpower.
Mm.
But where this gets dangerous is if someone is thinking, you know, if I were that person, I would drop heroin. I would stop wrecking my life like that. The thing is, to me, the phrase, if I were you, makes absolutely no sense.
Okay.
If, you know, take, in my example, a heroin addict. Ooh. If I were to trade places with them, atom for atom, there's no part of me left to behave differently than they would.
Yeah, you are literally them.
I become them. So for me to say, if I were you, I would do dot, dot, dot. That makes no sense. And if I'm judging someone, you know, with that incorrect presupposition, I am not equipped enough to help them, right? If I don't understand that they are literally incapable of dropping this habit, then me just blaming them and saying, why don't you have enough willpower to stop this? It just doesn't make sense. So I need to understand that whatever it was, genetics, environment, childhood, all these things that they did not choose, it's causing them to act this way.
Yeah, right? And I feel like that really goes into like the concept of understanding. And you know, I feel like in life, so many of us try to understand everybody else, but we're all limited by our own perspective, like what our own experiences, our own genetics, our own influences in life. And there are a lot of people that are like, oh, why doesn't someone, why can't I, why don't people understand me? And it's because you are just so different. Absolutely. Everyone is.
Yeah.
So is willpower, like, so let's put it in these terms, like willpower as a stat. Like, is it, is it trainable?
I'll take 200 willpower, please.
Right, right. So is there a way to hone one's willpower to be able to not make certain decisions?
I do think that on this topic of free will, I think understanding that everything you do is because of physical causality is just the next level of understanding yourself. Right? When we go from mosquitoes to humans, one of the major differences there is I'm aware of what I'm doing, right? If someone's trying to smack me, I'm like, oh crap, someone is trying to smack me. A mosquito is just like, oh, the air is moving. I'm just going to react and move.
Right.
So I can self-reflect and to understand that things are influencing me that I did not create, right? I did not sculpt myself. I did not step outside of time and say, this is the person I'm going to be born as and become. Once I understand that, I have a much better basis for understanding how I can improve myself, right? I can recognize that because of my genetics and environment, I have crappy willpower, and understanding that reason is going to help me improve myself.
Okay. And then what does one do to, once you do understand, what do you do to hone your willpower? I feel like that would be a very useful tool for people to use.
I don't know if I have an opinion on honing your willpower.
Yeah, I don't know if there's like any like exercise or something you can really do. I guess like the best thing you could do when it comes to willpower is to understand your addictions.
Or like exercise control, perhaps?
In a sense. I feel like the best way to kind of begin that process is kind of feel like, understand like what are your addictions in life and kind of take a moment to understand why is this an addiction?
But so like that being craving. That being said, like one's ability to be able to recognize and then potentially attempt to hone one's willpower, is that in itself not free will? Like your ability, like your own ability, not influenced by anybody else's, you're choosing to like influence yourself?
But you might do that just because of what you learn from somebody else, or maybe from reflecting on what's happening to you.
Right. So like, it's like each event happening, what that determines whether or not you're going to start like reflecting on your own willpower and improving yourself could potentially be yourself reflecting on past events or an external thing happening to you that makes you want to do it. So like your ability to want and be able to recognize that, what is that?
So I think some of the monkey wrench here is that the thing improving itself is an agent. And to draw an analogy that I've never made before, so let's roll with it. If you consider the process of natural selection, it's this inexorable force that just causes a species to improve, right? But there's no you know, unless you're supposing that God is influencing natural selection, there is no agent causing this betterment.
Right.
Right. So I would say in the same way that it's just physical natural laws causing this improvement, it's the same thing when you try to improve yourself.
So like the consciousness has a certain capacity in its programming to be able to recognize itself and then go on and compute the actions to improve itself, like a self-learning AI learns, almost.
Yeah, I think kind of relatable. That makes sense. Yeah, I would say consciousness actually doesn't actually do anything. Consciousness is just a stream of experience. And I'm glad you made me think of this, because I meant to come back to this point earlier. Most people feel that they have free will because they, you know, have all these thoughts popping up into their head and it's causing them to act. And the thing is, you don't know what you're going to think next. What is the next thought that's going to pop into your head?
You don't know.
Completely up to your subconscious.
Right.
For you to control your thoughts, you would have to think your thoughts before you think them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you really pay attention to, you know, to your experience, if you sit down and do some mindful meditation and pay attention.
Meditation is like the key to that.
Absolutely. Pay attention to the thoughts coming into your head. They just come out of nowhere. Just like my voice right now is...
Out of nowhere.
It's causing thoughts. It may as well be my voice in your head producing these thoughts.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you have no control over what's going to come next.
Right.
The great way to conceptualize it is like you are like a mountain and all of your thoughts are just clouds that are coming through. And you have the choice to what to either allow that cloud to settle or just to simply pass on by.
Mm.
You know, and that's the hard part. Like, you don't realize your thoughts are thoughts until you're lost in a thought loop. You know,
it's like a stream flowing and you have the ability to pick things and let them stick or not.
And you only have the power. And that's why meditation is just so important, because meditation gives you the skill of awareness, being able to identify your thoughts as thoughts and being able to not fight those thoughts, but simply allow them to come in and leave.
Mm-hmm.
Like a thought could be, my rent's due tomorrow. Now, that could take you down a whole thought loop, you know, like that could be like, oh my gosh, I realize I don't have enough money to do this. Oh my goodness. Like, what do I do? Like, do I have enough time to do this? Like, yada, yada, yada. Or you could just simply think it and let it go and live more in the moment.
And like not have anxiety about it. Right.
Yes. And that's the big, it's a big thing. Your subconscious influences that on you.
Right. And then you can also use meditation to like focus on a thought and really break it down. Correct.
True, yes. I feel like we, even without meditation, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is what the thought loop is. By not having that awareness, you do it without even realizing it. But by being mindful, it allows you to go to that next level. It allows you to see that thought, and I like to like analyze it as you can view it from a third-person perspective. You can kind of like see this thought, analyze it as simply a thought, and dive deeper and ask, why does this matter? You know, like if it's a worry, like it could be you're on a plane and you're worried that this plane might crash. You know, that's a thought. That's like, oh, whoa. But if you allow yourself to be mindful and think about it from that third person perspective, it's like, oh, but what are the chances of that actually happening?
Right.
Like 1%, probably less. Mm. And it's just allowing yourself to identify that and really, really accept it and be free.
Not worry about it.
And that's the key. Allow yourself to experience the very thing you're afraid to experience and be free of it, rather than just running away.
You're blowing my mind over here.
Your ability to do that.
And that's the thing. So many people are afraid to feel things. Like, people are afraid to feel loss, heartbreak, loss of control.
Yeah.
You know? Realizing that they don't have actually free will.
Or do you, question mark? Because, like, your ability to meditate might argue for it.
X-Files theme.
Yeah.
I think that will segue us to something really important, which we should talk about. If you accept the premise of no traditional definition of free will, what does that mean?
Right.
So, how much time do we have left?
We have about... a minute to 1 to 3 minutes left.
Oh gosh. Okay, then I gotta. All right, I gotta skip over all kinds of stuff. But let's talk implications. So number one, just a deep sense of empathy, right? If you consider a violent criminal who just has these psychopathic impulses, he's murdered people and doesn't feel remorse for it. By all accounts, he is evil. Right, but if he was born into an abusive family,
I feel sorry for those people. They're usually driven into
horrible actions. That person is a victim of bad luck. He had the bad luck of being born to become that murderer, and that is just awful. And you know, you have to lock those people away, right? You can't just say, well, sucks. You had some bad luck, but you don't have free will. So just roam around on the street.
Yeah, roam around. Keep getting them there, Michael.
so that, you know, that sucks. But hatred isn't really an emotion that makes sense under this view. You know, you have deep empathy for people. Understanding the right way to administer justice. If your form of justice is retributive, you want to punish people, give them what they deserve for doing the wrong thing. That's just not the right way to go about it, right? Under this lens of free will, you want your justice to be rehabilitative. You know, for that same reason, if you can rehabilitate that murderer, by all means, you should do that. If you could give him a pill that would turn him into a non-murderer,
that'd be crazy, right? That'd be solid.
If you could do that versus let's throw the book at him, let him rot in prison, it's clear which is morally superior. So the justice system that we affect is directly related to our concept of free will. So that one is huge.
Yeah. And like you could even say, like, by giving him that pill, you take away like who he is. Maybe being a killer is who he is.
Oh. Yes. I believe this is literally the plot line for A Clockwork Orange. I have not read it. I do believe it is about, you know, should a murderer essentially have his personality taken away?
Yeah.
Well, goodness.
But hey, I'm going to go ahead and cut us on this little bit. There is obviously so much more to unpack with this. Ryan, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Absolutely.
And we hope that you'd be willing to come back for part two of all this.
Oh, heck yes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I know Shane and I have an absolute blast doing this. Please go ahead and take a look at our Patreon if you want to help us a little bit more and give us a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform you're on right now to give us a little extra oomph. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for being here today, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.